Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Redemption High Dimensions radio broadcast. I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour, and I praise God that we have joined together for this Monday's message, Monday's morning message entitled Jesus, the Republicans, and Sinners. Let me correct that. Jesus, the publicans, and the sinners. A very powerful message that God is going to speak to us. I tell you, in the times that we are enduring and hearing on our news, I tell you, the Republicans somehow may can be included, those that are not adhering to the word of the Lord. But we're not talking about the Republicans today. We're talking about the publicans and the sinners. And it's going to be a powerful message because God is going to speak to our hearts. And that is what we come on the broadcast for, to hear the word of the Lord as it relates to salvation, redemption, and God intervening and ruling in the hearts of men. For people to repent of their sins and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So we're going to be talking about that, entitled again, Jesus, the Publicans, and the Sinners. Let's go before the throne of grace, and right after that we'll get into the word of God. Heavenly Father, we say thank you for another glorious opportunity to come before your presence. We thank you, God, for grace in our lives today to have strength and courage to get up, move forward, to do the things that you have called us to do. We pray, Lord, that we be effective in the earth in our gifts and calling where you have given us. And, Lord, that we continue to be a light into the world where we show forth your loving kindness and compassion to all of those, God, that are seeking answers, those that may be in dismay and discouraged. And so, God, we just say thank you. We say that we love you. We praise you for your living word that is able to transform and save our lives. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness. We praise you for the Holy Spirit that is working so mightily and effectively inside of us, God, to keep moving and keep having strength, God, and to have the mind of Christ and to hear what you're saying to us, to be led by the Spirit. And so, God, we just pray for all of those that need healing today, those that have loved ones that are in the hospital. We lift them up, God, right now, that you would just send the angels, the minister angels, to minister to them. We pray for all those that are incarcerated in mental institutions in Jesus, those that are homeless, and those, God, that are in despair, and those that have mental illness. We lift them up and place them on the altar, God, that you know what needs they have. And we know that the word says that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. But we come together and bind together in faith that you will move on the behalf of your people and transform their lives and give them what they need, God. Prayers. Pray for our government and our churches, God, that you will ruin the affairs of men. That, God, you will overthrow every evil, that you will overthrow every powers of darkness, Lord, that may be ruling in our government, ruling in our judiciary system, ruling in our school system. Father, we just know that you're well able. But God, we know that the government sits upon your shoulder and you are ruling, you're having your way. Your eyes are beholding the good and the evil. So purge out the evil, God. And we'll continue to intercede, Lord, for those that you have placed in high places, that they will make righteous decisions, God, that they will be the light, Lord God, that you will use them, Lord, to bring forth your righteous judgment. And so we praise you and honor you and give you the glory today in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, thank all of you for tuning into the broadcast. Again, we are talking about Jesus and the publicans and the sinners. We're going to talk about that here in Luke chapter 15. Because God wants us to understand the role we play in the lives of sinners, in the lives of those that have not received Christ in their lives, or in the lives of those that may have received Christ in their lives, but they're going through struggles. They are battling temptation and sin. And we as believers, the Bible says, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And so in whatever state a person is in their lives, we need to have the mind of Christ. scriptures has already set forth what should be our position when it comes down to interacting with sinners. You know, in Jesus' day, they were called publicans, the ones that were in government and handling governmental affairs, tax collectors. That's what the publicans were. But they still were those that extracted more than what was necessary for the government. And so they were hated, of course, by the Jews because they were considered a burden to the Jews and probably to the ones that was not doing right themselves, you know, and that kind of stuff goes on today. But we want to talk about our position as believers and how God wants us to respond to sinners, publicans and sinners of our time. As I was looking at a scripture before we go to Luke, excuse me, I want to go to Mark chapter 2. There's a word for us in Mark chapter 2 that God wants us to understand. The body of Christ supposed to walk in the light of Christ and be as he was. The Bible says, as Jesus was, so are we in the earth. And so when we read the Bible, we should really see how Jesus responded and what was his attitude and the heart of the message of what he was conveying for us to understand about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and his purpose. We really need to understand that because it's all in the spirit. And God wants us to understand his purpose. So we look here in Mark chapter 2. And let's turn over here because there was always people that was questioning Jesus. And it's pretty much going to be about the same story in Luke, but we want to look at this particular chapter and book and this verse because Jesus responds to the Jews that were watching him. I want all of you to know as a believer that there are people that are watching our lives that are not believers. You know, yeah, believers and unbelievers, but mainly unbelievers. They're watching our lives because the Bible says that the preaching of the cross, the message of the cross, of the gospel, it is foolishness to them that are perishing. Why? Because they are blind. They don't have the insight. They don't understand. They are in their worldly, fleshly ways to do and think how they want to think. That's why the Bible says that the wisdom of the world is foolishness unto God. Because when the world thinks that they have it all and know it all, they can do it all, and they are some type of way intellectually inclined to know what's going on in your life, it is foolishness to God because what they need to do is repent of their sin. And in fact, many of them don't feel that they have sins because they have their own concept of how the world evolved. And many of them leave out God out of the equation. And some people call themselves God. Some people believe in evolution. And they have all of these foreign thoughts. So they're blind in the preaching of the gospel, the Bible, and what we know is life for us. The Bible says, you know, it's foolishness to them, but it is life and it's salvation for us. Because we understand scriptures, because God has made his spirit alive in us and breathed on us the Holy Spirit, where we have the understanding of who Jesus is and his commandment of how he tells us to be here in the earth. When we look here in Mark chapter 2, let's look at verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat and eat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. You know, when we get to that part where it says, and they followed him, the publicans and sinners, because there's an emptiness in sinners. There's an emptiness in publicans that made them to be drawn to Jesus because he is the light. He is the way, the truth, and the light, the life. He's light for us. And when Jesus went about his ministry preaching, there was a spirit while they followed him. Because in humanity, there is that emptiness, and Christ brings us to the end of ourselves, and we're going to read about that. We're going to read about that because every sinner should feel and know that there is an emptiness, a void that you can't fill. So when the fountain of life, who is Jesus Christ, is made known unto you, you know, a lot of people are curious about it. And they want to know. So they followed Jesus. Let's look a little further here. Verse 16 says, and when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Now, you know, in the body of Christ, there are some establishments, religious institutions, let's just say that, religious institutions, where they, over the years, have not taught correctly. The entire body of Christ, I'm talking about religious institutions, I'm talking about people that have established religious institutions all in the name of God, but teaching people the wrong way, how they should feel, how they should think about sinners. And if you have been in the church for years and they have taught you to shun sinners, to not be around sinners, you have been taught wrong. And many of us may have experienced that with the teachings of old. But thank God when we come into the truth and the knowledge for ourselves, because that's what the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. If you don't pick up that Bible and study it for yourself, you're not going to understand that those are the very people that God wants you to be around. And God has to work his word in our hearts and our mind to change the order of what we have been taught falsely. Hallelujah. Because if we want to be like Jesus, we got to be like Jesus and do as Jesus did. So we see here the Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, they saw him eating with publicans and sinners. Much like in our day, you know, we have a lot of controversy about a lot of things in society, and we can use homosexuality for an example. People that are engaged in that lifestyle, of course they have been shunned from the church. But see, there's a balance in understanding the word of God is truth and its application to sinners, and also the balance of the love. As Christ said, have I drawn you with loving kindness? There is a balance of speaking the truth in love. We don't compromise with the world or any issue. You never compromise your faith. But what you do is you receive the engrafted word of God with instructions on how to approach people, to entreat people, so that you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because repentance is for all of us. Repentance is for all of us. And God is not a God that condemns. He said it in John chapter 3. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that, you know, through Christ, the world might be saved. And he wants all to come to repentance. for all to come through to repentance of sin. Sin that breaks his heart for all of us. We're all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Again, when we use the example of homosexuality and people say that they're born that way, we're all born with some kind of sin. So whatever sinful tendencies that all of us have been born with, yeah, we've been born with sin. So in that matter, it's the truth. We all have been born in sin, shaped in iniquity, whatever those sins are for you and I. But when we come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and we see the things that God tells us to lay aside every sin and weight that so easily beset us, then we receive the word of God and the grace of God that helps us and moves us forward to becoming holy like him, sanctified, cleansed, useful for his purpose. And that process will last until eternity, until we leave here. So, and everyone's deliverance, everyone's purging, you can't tell God how fast somebody needs to be delivered. You can't tell God how, you know, soon this person should come out of this sin or that sin. No, 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 no. God is on his own omnipotent time. He is on his omnipotent time to deliver a person, just like you. You don't want God to listen to people to tell him how you should be delivered right now. You should have been, came out of this sin or that sin. No, no, because God works in our lives by the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, we hear the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that we obey God because we love him. You know how many homosexual people have testimonies how they came out and how they've been delivered? Do you know how many testimonies we have of people in my situation or your situation that give our testimony and say how God delivered us, what we came out of? Because we all came out of something if you're saved. Even if you have pride. Oh, you have a great testimony how God delivered you from having pride. That's the number one thing that God hates. Seven things do the Lord hate. And number one is pride. So when you zoom in and you focus on other people's sin that's so despicable to you, that's why recently, you know, as one of the evangelists in the gospel was, you know, heated up about the way she taught about these situations that are at hand in our country involving rights for gays and lesbians and things like that. I don't usually teach on these issues, but when I do, I know the Holy Spirit is wanting to get a point call. Because when we learn of Christ, we learn the right attitude and the motive. We can't let our pride, we can't let what we think and how we feel about sin in others. I know the Bible said to, you know, hate even the garment of sin. Yeah, we do, but we don't hate the sinner. And just because you hate the sin don't mean that you act out or you have these bad thoughts of anger about a sinner. No. We want to be able to do like Jesus did, as we're going back to scriptures here, to sit and eat with the sinners. Don't be afraid. I mean, if you're not a certain way or you don't do certain things, it shouldn't hurt you or put fear in you that you don't want to be around that one. And we can be guilty of that. But as God works his word in us, we see the compassion and the love that Jesus have. Because look what we're going to go through scriptures now. We got to hit these scriptures right here. Verse 17. It says when Jesus heard it, when they were talking about him and saying how could he eat and drink with publicans and sinners, when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's right, because if we already righteous and already have his spirit and we already been saved, okay, well, we need to be effective in the earth, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, to take our light to the dark areas of society, to show them the love of God, and to help them understand why God wants us to be saved. Why does he want us to repent of our sins? Why do he want us to be transformed? Why? And so let's go back to talking about homosexuality, for instance. Why do he not want that to happen in their lives, since this is the big news and it's such a hot topic in society? Why? So you have to break down and begin to help them understand why the Word of God has said this, why the Spirit of God has pointed out this particular sin and explained it in Scripture, in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Why? So you tell them why, because you have to go into the details of telling them that God first created man and woman, and he told them to go and be fruitful and multiply. And, you know, he said that we are not supposed to be with the same sex, because it doesn't produce offspring and bring him glory. And though you may have these are desires that God doesn't want us to have, because it brings forth sin and it causes us to be separated from God, just like any other sin. And just like any other believer, we have to deny our flesh, whatever that sin is for you and I. We have to deny our flesh. Every day we have to cast out evil imagination and strongholds. Every day we have to walk in the Spirit so that we can be pleasing to the Lord. Even if a person is not married but they're committing fornication, we have to deny that flesh not to do that. Even though a person has desires to keep committing adultery, we have to deny that desire. Even if a person have a desire to murder someone because they're offended and anger is boiling up in them, we have to explain to them how Scripture says that anger rests in the bosom of a fool. So whatever the sin is in our lives, or whatever the sin that's trying to consume you, we have to explain to people in the way that Jesus would tell them. Just like he told a woman that was in adultery, caught in adultery. They was getting ready to stone her. But Jesus told her, you know, where are your accusers? I didn't come to condemn you. How am I ever going to save you if I come to condemn you? I came to, you know, help you understand so that you will repent of your sin, so that you will worship me in spirit and in truth. That's what he told, go and sin no more. So it's not those that are whole and those that are righteous that need a physician, that needed healing. But it's those that are sick, sin sick. And Jesus knew that. So you have to be around sinners for that matter. So now we go to Luke chapter 15, and let's look at verse 1. Then drew near unto him all publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spoke this parable unto them. What man having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, do not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he come home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So God is saying that heaven is all rejoicing over just one sinner than all of us that has already repented. And it goes on in other details to, you know, just to talk about how a precious, whatever is precious that is lost is found, you know, God rejoices over one sinner that can repent, turn away from their sins and see the light of Jesus Christ in any type of sin. So now let's go to Luke chapter 14. Let's just go over here, just one chapter over. And let's look at verse 1. Luke chapter 14, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watch him." See? They watch him. And the parallel here says they watch him closely. And that is what the world is doing. They're looking on very closely. But the Bible says that Jesus was so wise, so knowledgeable in all his ways, because he was just filled with the Spirit of God. Like, you can't get over on God. That's why he tells us not to judge one another. There are things that I had to go back and repent of to a few individuals in the way that I felt about certain things and lifestyle they were into, and being so caught up into religion because of what I've been taught. I had to go back and correct that stuff. Thank God I was able to. The people hadn't gone on. But you want to be able to be a light. Psalms 1 says, you know, chapter 1 says, don't stand in the way of sinners. People may not understand what God is saying and speaking in your life, because when the Holy Spirit is in you, you got to do what God says. You have to do what God says. You don't worry about what people think. They're blind. They don't even read their Bible to be fed of the knowledge and the Spirit of God to have a right heart like Jesus. They're going to always look at you in some kind of funny way because they have that holier-than-thou attitude. And a lot of people confuse their love for God as holier-than-thou. But they don't understand your calling. They don't understand what God is speaking to you. They don't understand the value of preaching and teaching the gospel so that people can repent of their sins to be ready to meet the Lord. They don't understand that. So they watched Jesus closely, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" It's religious now. This is religion speaking right here. Everything can be fine and well with people until you do something that offends them, or you do something that they don't understand. And then they want to come at you. See, the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, you know, they were such religious people, they wanted it done this way. And so when Jesus came and started eating on the cornfields, disciples on the Sabbath, and healing on the Sabbath, you know, it just showed their heart. That's why Jesus was disregarding. That's why the Bible said, you know, we don't give consent to the prideful. You disregard the prideful. That's what Jesus did. When they thought that they had everything all lined up in their religious routine, because this is the way you're serving God in this order, that's, God was breaking all that down. Because he was coming with love and compassion to save those from their sins. He gets to the heart of the matter, not a fake facade of trying to be spiritual, trying to be religious, but he deals with the heart. So it says here, and they held their peace and took him and healed him and let him go. Let's look at that verse. Let's look at verse 3 again. And Jesus answered and spoke unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" That was the question he wanted to ask them. And look, they didn't have nothing to say in verse 4. They held their peace and took him, and he healed him and let him go. Verse 5 says, and answered them, saying, "Which of you shall have a donkey or an ox fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath?" And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden. Mark how they chose the chief room, saying unto them. Now, these scriptures are going to go into how people want the first seat. They want to be seen. Oh, got to get that thing together. First shall be last shall be first. And you read on down. We may not have time. We already got our prompts because we got to go to a scripture here in Romans. But look at that. If you read the finished reading chapter 14, you're going to see that these people wanted to sit in the chiefest seat. And Jesus is saying, you know, what you should do is go out into the highways and byways and gather some of the people that are cast out. Gather some of the people that are rejected, the outcast, the untouchables. Jesus was not afraid to interact with the untouchables, and that was pretty much those that had leprosy. They wasn't untouchable for Jesus. And we should not be untouchable to others. We're going to go a little further here because I want to look at another scripture we want to see that when people don't come the way that Jesus wants them to come, when they refuse to come in the manner like Jesus said and repent of their sins and be humble and do all these wonderful things to build the kingdom and helping others, then Christ will go out and find people from the highways and the byways. And he will get them to come in, and he will give them all of the wonderful blessedness and the privileges of being first instead of being last. We have to understand that. And let's look here in chapter 14 real quick before we go to Romans. It says in verse 16, Luke 14, 16, then said Jesus unto him, a certain man made a great supper and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have brought a piece of ground. I need to go check on it and see it. I pray you excuse me. Like, I can't make it, but please excuse me. Verse 19 says, and another said, I have brought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray you excuse me. Then the other one here in verse 20 said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. You know, he wanted to be excused too from this great supper that this man had provided for them. I'm assuming his friends, of course. So verse 21 says, so that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, the master of the house was angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes, the highways of the byways, and bring in here the poor and the lame and the halted and the blind. He said, I'll find me somebody that want to sit at this great feast. See, that's what pride does. You know, you never know whether somebody was making excuses because they had pride and then maybe some envy and jealous that, you know, whomever or whatever this certain man had or was doing, you know, it's all kind of ways. And so they didn't want to connect with him. But he was smart. It was wisdom for him to say, you know what? There's a lot of other people that have needs out here. I just celebrated my birthday. What my mind is on now is taking my celebration to the streets. I want to do that to help those that don't have, those that can't celebrate a birthday, those that need just a bottle of water on the street. We are attending to the real things of God. We can't let God see our heart not attending to the true things that really matter unto him. So this master of the house, look what he said. He was angry, of his servant. He said, go out quickly into the street and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the lame, halted, and blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Oh, yes, we have a lot of room for him, Lord. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that in my house, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Because when people think they have enough and they don't really need what you want to offer them, that's pretty much what Jesus is saying. Well, you won't even taste none of it then. There'll come a time when you wish you did. So God says, you know, you don't have to beg them to come. There's plenty of people out there in the street. So that's a lesson for us. You ever have a party, your friends can't make it? Oh, you should see the people on the street that's sitting and wishing they had something to eat. Less more, you invite them to your house to eat. Take them some food, whatever you do. Look at Romans chapter 12, last scripture here before we wrap up. It says in verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Mind not high things, but consent to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If possible, as much as lies within you, live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance belongs to God. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If they thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you shall reap coals of fire on their head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. These are the things that God is letting us know, that we're going to experience these things. But he wants us, don't feel like you got to give honor to those that are prideful. We know the Bible says give honor where honor is due. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and show you pride in a person, you don't give honor to pride. And you don't want to be around, as scripture just said, you don't want to consent to men of high estate, high-minded people. He said, mind not high things. King David said, Lord, let me not mind things too high for me. Don't want to be around those that have that pride where God is seeing their heart and they don't have no desire to live in like Christ. And as spectators, murmurers and complainers, doubters and refuters of the word of God. He said, but consent to men of low estate. Men of low estate. Who are those? Who are the men of low estate in life that you may see in your life? Let me help you identify it. It's those that has been neglected, rejected, they have a need, they're sick, they can't hardly do for themselves. But they're humble. Look at the poor on the street. They're humble. That's why the Bible says, you know, the poor are rich in faith. Because they're not giving up. And they ain't out there doing nothing wrong to get gain, to land themselves in jail. That's why they're on the street. But that's why the scripture says here, provide all things honest in the sight of men. Because when you do that, you're humble. Not going to go out here and be like the deceitful to get gain and want people to think that you're living it up and everything you did to get it is a lie. Crossed over people and you did a lot of things like that. You got to come out of that and wait patiently on the Lord. So the men of low estate are those that are trying to find their way, are those that need faith to hold on, are those that need some compassion and need some love, are those that are trying to find their identity. So that's why we can't shun those When you're knowledgeable of the Word of God, you understand His Spirit, you can't shun sinners, especially if they want to be around you. God will show you. God will bring you to a place in your life where you will need a sinner. You will need that person you're shunning. Please understand what I'm saying. He will bring you to that point where that is the only one that can provide you a drink of water, that can provide you a roof over your head, that can provide you the answer for what you need. It could be a business matter. That person you shun, if you're spiritual, you love the Lord, you will let Him work in your heart so that you will have the wisdom to understand and know how to operate in His Spirit, to have compassion for the sinners and the publicans. Because it's not the righteous that need a physician, but it's the sinners. And you don't let people put you in places to feel guilty for being around sinners. Actually, you feel just so free because you know that you were once there, and now you have the opportunity where you can minister. You can be the light, showing love. Sometimes you don't have to say nothing, just show love. So God knows how to work His love in people's hearts. So they want to have the same spirit that you have, that you're able to do such a thing. So we just praise God for giving us this understanding of Jesus, the publicans, and the sinners. We just thank God for that. And before I go off the broadcast, I must say, I know some people that have a hard time dealing with certain situations that their loved ones are in, certain things that they're in, and their lifestyle. And they've, you know, cut their family off that's reaching out to love them. Cut their friends off that's reaching out to love them because, again, they feel that that person should come to know the Lord, like right now. But you have to allow God to work in their heart. You have to allow God to work in people's hearts, just like He did when He saved you. So God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in on the broadcast. Until next time, I'm Linda Shula, the Evangelist for the Hour. Have a wonderful day.